You know that our collect, our opening collect, sets the theme for our day each week. And so today we begin praying, O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. On the mountain, they saw God's glory. We go to mountains to see God's glory and be strengthened and transformed to be changed into Jesus' likeness. Last week, I went to a mountain. I was really excited about it. I was going to climb that mountain. It was a clergy conference in Catania. And I have been looking forward to climbing Mount Etna, which of course is a volcano, but it's called a mountain. So it's a mountain, and I was really looking forward to it. I did my homework. It is the highest active volcano in Europe outside the Caucasus. It is currently, because it blows its top mountain, it's currently 3,329 meters or 10,922 feet high. It is the highest peak in Italy, south of the Alps. Etna covers an area of 1,190 kilometers, 459 square miles, and it is by far the largest of three active volcanoes in Italy, being about 2.5 times the height of the next largest. I arrived late at night, so I couldn't see the mountain. But next morning, time to see that big, glorious volcano which looms over Catania. I looked out my window, and I saw this huge, thick, spectacular fog. You could barely see the trees right in front of the building. And of course, not the mountain. No problem. We're here a few days, and we have to spend the day inside listening to the bishop lecture on the meaning of the post-communion prayer, which was almost as exciting as seeing the mountain. But we couldn't see it if we were out to see it anyway, because we rushed out at lunch break. Still, no. Fog. Fog stayed all day. Pretty much every day until we had to leave. And we got word that the paths for climbing the mountain were closed because of mudslides. So there I was. I went to the mountain, but I never saw it. And it's huge, but I couldn't see it. And to add insult to injury, it was clear and beautiful on the day I left, and I had a window seat on the plane, but it was the wrong side. I never saw the mountain, much less got to the top. Just because I didn't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. I know it is. Not because I have not seen it, but because others have told me about it. Others have had their lives changed by it. Someone was terribly hurt when it blew up last March. And because others have seen it, I believe. That is obviously a symbol for us in our faith. In today's reading from the Gospel, the description of the transfiguration of Jesus, Peter, James, and John were the only three people who went up that mountain with Jesus. And though they went on to do great things, others who were not there did also. It's because of what they testified, of what they'd seen, and people believing because they had been transformed themselves by that experience. They saw something incredible. though he got to see it, he never got there. And no one knows where his body lies after his death. So Jewish tradition speculates that he might still be around there in some form, hundreds of years later. And Elijah, as we heard today, he was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, which means perhaps he can come back someday too. And that's why we set a place for him at the Passover or Seder table. Well, we don't have Jewish people do. So suddenly, Jesus is with these two people who went up into the heavens or disappeared and whose whereabouts are unknown, and suddenly there they are with him. And Peter, James, and John see this. Three witnesses. That's what's needed in a Jewish court of law to testify. These three witnesses saw the glory on the mountaintop. But there was more. They didn't just see it. They heard something incredible. When Peter suggested that they make dwelling places for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, a cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." So they not only saw something amazing, they heard a voice from heaven. And then they went down the mountain. And Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until he rose from the dead. They saw the glory, they heard the voice on the mountain, and it gave them an experience which has to have transformed them. Gave them experience which made them live differently. Gave them something that helped them through the frightening times they would have as they were on their way to Jerusalem, where Jesus would be arrested and they would see him die on the cross. But we were not on that mountain. We did not hear that voice proclaiming him the beloved. Like me, not seeing Mount Etna, really I saw nothing but mist and rain as I looked for it. But I do believe from the testimony of others. Do I envy the others? Do I wish I had the experience of the mountain? Of course. But can I believe without it? Without actually seeing or hearing based on their testimony? And can I be transformed without that experience? I mean, if I got to actually see the transfiguration, wouldn't I always be totally different, a totally faithful follower of Jesus? Wouldn't seeing that have made me different in everything? The story of the Transfiguration is only half a pattern, a way to live. Because on the mountain is different from day to day in the valley. Theologian David Leininger put it this way. On the mountain, we encounter Almighty God. In the valley, there's an encounter with the demonic. On the mountain, we encounter our faith's heritage. In the valley, we encounter those who consider questions of faith as occasions for battle. On the mountain, God's calming voice is heard. In the valley, human argument is heard. On the mountain, disciples are in a mood for worship. In the valley, the disciples are spoiling for a fight. On the mountain, the glory of God is revealed. In the valley, the power of sin and unbelief is revealed. And so, as we've heard of the glory on the mountain this week, and come back down to the mountain this week, with Lent. Beginning on Wednesday, we have a season where we come face to face with the challenges of living our day-to-day lives in the valley. And when we come to the end of Lent, we are at no less than the valley of the shadow of death. But along the way, Jesus walks with us. And when we fail him, he is patient with us. And he continues to teach us. And he continues to heal. And he still forgives us. And what are we to do? What was the message on the mountain? Listen to him, so that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory.